For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Oh, did you notice the byproduct of that healthy marriage was those kids were like under control, right? If that was my kids, man, you know what I'm saying? Somebody would have lost an eye, like trying to sit out for that long, right? I love my boy, but man, he's 8 years old and full of, you know, puppy dog tails and whatever that stuff. Man, because, oh, crazy, right? It wouldn't happen, right? So it's all good. So that's what happens at the marriage retreat. And if you're not married, you're single. How many singles do we have? We got a whole mess of singles. All right, so you guys get to have your own singles retreat. You just organize it amongst yourselves. Get together, okay? It's not a hookup time. Say, no hookup.
No hookup.
One person says no hookup. You're not having a singles retreat after all, okay? No singles retreat is not happening. We need to do a singles retreat, okay? So if you're gonna not hook up, you can go to a singles retreat or something, all right, at Darren's house. Okay, Darren, singles retreat, your house, first 1,000 people. Playa. We're gonna have church tonight too, is that all right? All right, I gotta warm up. It's been a while, you know, it's been like, I haven't seen you guys since last year. Okay. You know, whatever. Hey, dumb jokes, all right? And she did say one thing in there, like they left halfway through the marriage retreat. So that was transparency, and I know that she said we like transparency too, but you will not leave halfway through here, all right? I will call you out, all right? I'm an insecure speaker. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm serious about that, but like, you know, if you gotta leave, I'm sure you're going to fast and pray and, you know, pray for me. And I get it, that's fine, all right? But like, hey, who grew up in the church back in the day? And you would get called out for nonsense, right? You right? Brother Jones, what are you doing out there coloring that comic book? I mean, they would do that stuff, right? Anybody? Can I get a witness, right? I mean, like, I was a church, like, within, a five-mile radius of here, man, and you would straight get called out, all right? Since we're being transparent, I'm going to tell you, like, one of my most embarrassing things. At this church close by here, me and a buddy decided to play hooky one time. Now, we were like in third grade, right? So it was no big deal. We weren't going to go out and do stupid stuff like, you know, when you cut church in high school. It was a whole other thing, all right? So if you see high schoolers cutting church, get on them. Third graders, you know, whatever. So we weren't cutting the whole church service. So my friend's dad had a CB radio. Anybody remember that? Anybody know, do not know what a CB radio is? Anybody? Come on, be honest. You don't know what a CB radio is? I don't either. But it was a thing that you talk into. It's like the old truckers. Is it truckers? Do truckers have CB radios? I got some truckers in the house. Where are my truckers? I couldn't tell. But I think the guys that did this, I think you're truckers, right? Okay. So we snuck out and we go, we're gonna get on his dad's CB radio. And so the church was old school even back in the day, and it had all wires upon wires. And so worship service started. And we get out into my friend's, and his dad's car was parked right by the church, like right next to it. So we get on there, we're like, breaker 19, this is cool guy, talking to you right now, come back, heavy nickel, double dime, you know, sheriff on your, I don't know, whatever, right? We were making stuff up. And so we were just trying to be cool. And then he gets on, yeah, man, we got a smokey on the back door, I don't know, okay? So my dad and his dad come running out of church, like marathon, like, rah! It was like slow motion. And little did we know that the CB radio was going through all those old wires in the church, and it went over the whole church loudspeaker, right? And so my dad and his dad are like, I'm gonna kill the fool. And so they come, duh, they're gonna give me some. Anyways, I will say this to say, beware, your sins will find you out. So we're going to talk tonight about Nehemiah chapter 10. If you guys have been following along with us, we've been going at Nehemiah. Last time was Nehemiah 9. And we're going to do this. And I want to pray a special prayer. And I want you guys to receive this prayer, because I got this theory that when you show up at church, two things should happen. Number one, you should hear from God. You should have a word from God. You should have God impact your life. Your life should be changed. It just should. And so I know you guys that were crapping right now, you're ready for that. You're ready for life change. And by the way, even if it's just a little bit, it's life change, right? I mean, you know, once you got saved, man, you don't have to get resaved, hopefully. I mean, you can backslide for a little bit and then come back and, you know, you're not going to lose your salvation or anything. But, you know, we just get dirty sometimes, right? We make mistakes. And so it's good. So you come back. So you need to have a word from God. And you know what? I think it's okay to have a little fun. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's okay, man. You got, if you want to laugh, that's fine. And you know, I mean, I'm just a goofball anyway. So it's just going to happen that way. Okay. I really don't write out stuff and plan it. Just kind of like, it's the gift of being silly. So, and so I'm going to pray right now. And what we're going to talk about tonight's message is called Signed, Sealed, Delivered. And we're going to talk about what it means to sign on the dotted line, what it means for God to seal you, and how that when he does that, you are delivered from your junk, from your sin, from your darkness, from those bad times forever. And so if you came for life change, you're going to get it. If you didn't come for life change, dang nabbit, you're right here, and you're in the right place, and you might as well get you some, okay? Because that's what we deal in right here is life change, and so we want you to have it. If you have a prayer need, pray right now, and we're going to pray. And if you don't have a prayer need, pray for those that do. We're just going to pray, and if you need to hear a word from God, I pray that, you know, it's not about my words. My words are just the conduit, the vehicle for what God uses. So you need to hear from God. Pray this prayer right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, right now, I ask that you would prepare life change among the people. God, from everybody that is sitting here right now, live flesh and blood, and internet audience, I believe God has something special for every one of you. In fact, internet audience, man, just reach your hand out toward the screen right now, man, because the stuff that comes through the airwaves and the wires and the channels, it's going to you, and the Holy Spirit of God is all over, and he's reaching you right now. And if you need life change, and you need to get your life together, and you need to submit your life to Christ, tonight is your night, whether you're here or there. And we pray that everybody that needs a word from God would hear it tonight. In the nombre de Jesus. A todo, amen. All right. Sorry, man. I just get all fired up being out here. I'm ready. So I'm going to start off with a couple of verses. And so I'm kind of weird. I try and get an edge on things. Anybody like that? You're like, man, you look at something, you're going, well, that's the way you can do it, but you could probably do it a little bit better. Or I'm going to like see how they went wrong and I'm going to make mine. Is anybody else like that? I don't know if that's competitive or petty or what it is, but I just want to do this. And so I think I may have shared this with you a long time ago, but when I pray, when I read the word, every time before I read the Bible, I say, God, let your word speak to me. God, let it penetrate my heart. Man, Lord, I want to hear from you. Because otherwise, I'm just reading a book, right? But I want to read the powerful, impactful word of God. And then I put this in too, and this might be kind of silly, but I say, and God, let it impact me now and forever every time I read it. And so I figure, like, I'm going to get an exponential bump sometime, right? If you keep praying, like, every time, and so it adds up. And so that one prayer equals, like, 50 prayers or 100. You see what I'm saying? And I have another theory that when I read the Bible, a lot of times when I'm inspired to read, I'll read things, and I can even read the same passage once, twice, three times, four times, and get something different from God out of that passage every time. Anybody else do that, right? Good, you should, because Scripture is like a jewel, and the jewel is cut in such a way that when the light shines on it, it reflects different ways all the time, right? So, man, get you some of that, man. Just take it, sister. All right, take that. She was in it because I said the jewels, but she looks at her husband and says something about buy me some more jewels or something. I don't know. He heard I'm gonna buy you another Bible, but I'm just saying. All right. So when I read it, I call it shimmer. So a lot of times, like, I'll read something, it'll shimmer. And tonight, man, passage 10, if you guys would just sit down and read this, this would be one of those passages that you go, man, there's not a lot here, God. Kind of thin. You know, I feel like I'm eating a salad when I wanted a steak. Anybody ever read that in Scripture, right? I mean, I'm just being honest, right? She said we could be transparent. I'm being transparent. So, and I do that, and a lot of times the passages that I've read before, I go, oh, I know what's going to happen next. But so when God makes things shimmer, and I pray, God, help me get your word, different things pop out of light. And so I'm telling you, I say all that because tonight we're going to read a couple passages and you're going to go, wow, Wow, you got that out of there. And I'm not stretching and I'm not adding to the Bible, but I'm just saying I really believe that God spoke some things. So we're just going to get right into it. And I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 10 of Nehemiah, and then I'm going to read the last part of the last verse. And there is a ton of names in here, and I'm not going to read the names, okay? Number one, because I will goof them up, all right? I will get them wrong. I'm going to tell you right now. And so the names are there. The names are important, okay? Because each name represents a person, and God took the time to put them in his scripture. God wanted those people mentioned. There's 84 names in the first part of the chapter, all right? So it's not that it's not important. It's just that I don't want to look silly when I'm mispronouncing every name. I mean, if they were like, you know, Lorenzo and Alfredo and Bob, and so, I'd be like, down. You know, I could do that. But like, I mean, you know, Pashur, Amariah, Malachijah. I mean, I couldn't do it. So here we go. First verse, last part of the last verse. The first verse says this. Now on the sealed document were the names of Nehemiah the governor, the son of Hakaliah and Zedekiah. There are 82 other names in that passage, all right? So skip down to the very last verse, last part of 39. It says this, thus we will not neglect the house of our God. So we have Nehemiah, a leader, leading the way. He was in front of a sealed document that had 84 names on it. And this document is what we're going to talk about. These people gathered together. They cried out with one cry after the wall was built. Okay, if you guys go back and you remember the other times we talked about Nehemiah, we talked about the struggles to build the wall. And when we finally built the wall for safety and security and protection, then the enemies came and the enemies tried to intimidate and the enemies tried to tear the walls down and they tried to come against the Israelites and tried to discourage their work. And then the people set up institutions to take care of, and the worship in the city went out. And so we're talking like really good stuff. And so what happens at this point, once they have safety, security, a little bit of a government, they have their church in order, then the people come with a sealed document and they said, we have neglected some things in Scripture and we want to come back. It's one thing to know you're in error. I sin. I do. I mean, sin means missing the mark, right? You guys have probably heard that. Pastor Ron teaches that well. It's an archery term. That means, you know, you did not hit the bullseye. We missed the mark, right? Doesn't mean we didn't, like, hit anything. We just didn't hit it right on. And so when we fall short of that, it's sin. But God is good and just and faithful to forgive us. And these people realize their sin. It's one thing to sin, but when you realize your sin and you get your family together and you go, hey, family, we've been in error. We have not worshiped together. This month, we've only been to church like twice. And I'll tell you what, right now is the beginning of the year. It's when a lot of people start thinking of New Year's goals and New Year's resolutions, right? Every year I go, I need to lose some weight. I just do, right? If it were possible, I'd say I need to grow some hair and all that, but you know. Goals are goals. And it's a good time for you guys to consider those spiritual goals. Am I going to read the New Testament through this year? That's a great goal. Why not? Right? Am I going to read the Bible every day with my kids? Whoa, there's a good one. That's going to be harder than you think, because as soon as you say I want to do it, the enemy's going to come and go, no, you're going to do that. What about I'm going to start giving, I'm going to start tithing, I'm going to start serving, I'm going to do a Bible study at my house, I'm going to join a small group, I'm going to get in a Bible study. Those are all incredible goals, and I encourage you to do it. So when you sin, that's one thing. When you realize that you have neglected some things of God, that's another thing. And when you pull your homies together, when you pull your friends together and you go, we have corporately missed the mark. We've corporately been slacking in our worship. It's a whole nother thing. And that's what happens to these people here. So I want to talk to you. I want to read again. We're talking about the sealed document that the names of 84 people were on. The seal is an interesting thing. A seal, you guys have probably seen it, you know, in movies or whatever, but the king or somebody in authority would take like a seal, something that would make a seal. It could have been it with some kind of an ink or dye, or a lot of times we've seen them like it was wax, right? And it was a seal that the king had. It was like the end of his walking staff, right? Or some, you know, precious little piece of jewelry, or a lot of times it was a ring, and they would heat up wax or get the ink ready, and they would write a letter, a document, something like, you know, a formal nature, and they would seal it. And what that meant with the seal was that meant it was kind of like when we sign on the dotted line today, right? And when you sign on the dotted line, what does that mean? It means like, I agree, right, to pay. Like, it seems like last year or so, like, usually when you reach to run a credit card thing through, you just run it and you're like, I'm out, right? But now they're like, no, you need to sign. Have you guys noticed that recently? I don't know. I think it's some new law that happened about a year ago. But they want you to sign, which means this is my credit card. I will pay Taco Bell $3.59, period. That's what that means, right? That's what we're signing to. And that's what was happening here. And there were 84 people that signed a document that said, we basically are going to relook at the ways of God that we have forgotten. And we'll read a couple of those passages in just a little bit. But I want to talk to you about the seal. Because when you seal something, it is your reputation on the line, right? We're going to look at just a little bit. We're going to look at what a seal is literally, right? It's a literal sign, a stamp, a commitment. And then we're going to look at what it is figuratively in the whole of Scripture. So literally in biblical times, it was used as a guarantee to secure something or to indicate ownership. Ancient seals were around, that you can see them in museums. We know that it carried the authority of the person using it. Just like today, when you sign something, it carries your authority on it, saying, I will pay this, right? Or I will buy this car. I will make the payments monthly. I will buy this house. And you sign a document stack like this big, right? I'm like, what is that all about, right? But think about if we just let our seal be our word, just like, I said it and it's done. Can you imagine buying a car? Yeah, I'll give you X amount of money for that car. All right, I'll take it. Put it there. Right? Didn't they used to do that? I mean, you used to go buy a horse, right? Can I get that horse? How much you want for that horse? All right, I'll take it. Your horse. You rode off on it, you brought it back the money. That's just the way it used to be. Wouldn't that be great? Unless you're an attorney, then you're going, no. We need more papers. We need more litigious wording. All right. A seal is a physical thing, but you guys know how words grow in their meaning. And in the book of Revelation, there are seals on people's foreheads that God puts there. Does God could put a big dot of wax and dot you on the head? Possibly, but I think it's more figuratively than anything. So we're going to look at that. So we're going to jump through Scripture and look at a couple seals. Can we do that? So while we're talking about that, when we talk about seals, we're not talking about an aquatic mammal, okay? Just so there's no confusion, okay? No aquatic mammals, no African-American singers, right? Guys, anybody? Okay. All right, and no, like, advanced marine people. Marine seal, or is it Navy SEALs? Ooh, which one is it? Navy. I'm so bad. Forget that one. I didn't mean to say that one. So we're not talking about Navy SEALs, although they are amazing. Figuratively, now that we know its roots, that it was a physical symbol and it meant seal, guard, the Hebrew word is shamar, which means to watch or preserve, we're going to see how it grows in the Word of God and grows in its meaning. I told you in Revelation 5, verse 1, it says this, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and the seal with seven seals. All right? It's the same. It's a Greek transliteration of the word shamar. And that seal means to guard or watch or preserve. All right? So in the end times, we are watched and preserved. And in this case, you saw the hand of the one on the throne with both writings on the scroll that was sealed with seven seals. We're gonna see in just a little bit, we won't go through there a lot, the seven seals are sealed that when they're open, they're actually judgment things, all right? So it runs the whole gamut. So there's a physical, and then there's the way it shows other things. When the psalmist says this in Psalm 141:3, he says, set a guard to watch over my mouth. And the word there is shamar. Set a guard or seal over my mouth, that the Lord keep watch over the door of my lips. Some of you guys just got a new prayer. Lord, seal my lips. Let me tell you how we say it in the non-biblical way. Bite your tongue. Right? That's a good thing. That's a good prayer. We can pray. Seal this, God. Let me tell you something about God. He takes these seals. He takes these signings very serious. A lot of times when they would sign things or seal things, it would be in a public ceremony. If we were to think about how we sign or seal things in a public ceremony today, we've already talked about a couple, a credit card statement or a you know, auto purchase or whatever. But what about the sealing of two relationships coming together in marriage? Right? Isn't that a public signing, sealing? It's something that we acknowledge with our friends and family and God, and we say, till death do us part. That's kind of scary if you think about it. Somebody could probably read that and say, oh gosh, if I get divorced, I'm going to die. I know there are people that have come through divorces in here, and there is no judgment and no condemnation on that. But I do want to pray for those marriages right now, those marriages that were sealed before God. Maybe there's a wayward spouse, and I want to pray those wayward spouses in right now, and I want to pray that the seal and the signature and what that meant and what you did in public form, I want to pray that, and I want to pray it strength upon you, and I want to pray those wandering ones. Can we do that? And if you've been through divorce, seriously, there is no condemnation. We're not about that here. I just want to pray for those of you that are out there right now that need that sealing, that cementing, that guarding on that seal that you made with your spouse. Can we pray for that right now? Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray a sealing, a cementing upon all families. Father, I pray that husbands would love their wives and they would make a covenant and a sealing with their eyes to have eyes for their wives only. And that wives would make a covenant and a sealing and a signing to say they will love their husbands even as Christ loved the church. And the husbands would say to their wives, I love you as Christ loved the church. And we would love our children, God, and we would do that as an honor and as a seal and a sign to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You just got your marriage prayed over, all right? Good, 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 good. But let's take it a little bit further. Let's take this seal that God puts on us. God seals us, all right? So he takes and seals us, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from his wickedness. God seals you when you are saved. He says, you are mine, and we say, God, I am yours. Let's look down here into, I want to read these right here. We already talked about Revelation, so let's look down here. So we just know, let me just tell you this. In the end, Revelation, there are seals that we have on our heads, right, that God protects those that are left behind after the rapture, right? So he still protects you after the rapture. Now listen, everybody, we're going to go up. When the rapture happens, we're going up, okay? So I'm really not talking to you, but I'm saying in Revelation, the word seal, the concept of seal, goes all the way through Scripture. So you are marked from beginning to end. When you are marked, when you are sealed, when you are guarded, you're protected by God, guess what that means? It means that the enemy of God is your enemy. Yes, that means, ladies and gentlemen, this may be news for you. Some of you guys know this because you're involved in spiritual warfare. But when you are signed and sealed by God, you have a target on your chest or on your back. And it's a red mark that the enemy goes, where are those Christians? And he zooms in on you. Right? I mean, I'm not trying to make you feel bad and make you feel scared, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? But the enemy knows when you are signed and sealed by God. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is a pledge, a seal, a sign of that seal that God gives you, all right? So when the enemy knows you're sealed by God and you have the Holy Spirit in you and you are saved and you cannot lose your entrance into the family of God, the enemy comes after you and he knows he can't make you give up your sign and seal that God did and you did. So what does he try to do? He can't take that away from you. What does he try to do? He tries to mess with you, man. He tries to get up in your business. How many of you guys had the enemy up in your business recently? You need to tell the enemy to back off. And you have the authority because you have the Holy Spirit in you, which is part of that signing and sealing. And you have the power of God and you have the power of prayer. You do not have to huddle in the corner. You do not have to cower away from the enemy. You push back and you go, I and my house, we will serve the Lord. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. God has given me the weapons of warfare, and they are prayer and they are spiritual, and I'm going to take it to the enemy. And the gates of hell will not prevail. That's what I'm talking about. We have all the power, and it's because we're signed and sealed and delivered by Jesus and infilled with the Holy Spirit for power from on high. Amen. Man, you guys need to walk out of here pumped up tonight because you have got it going on, man. You are the bride of Christ with a sealed signature. You're delivered and you're ready for anything, man. So you got all that, but listen, there's more. Because you got heaven already. You got Jesus inside you already. Guess what the more is? You get to take as many friends and family to heaven as you want. Hey, that's pretty exciting. See, when you get a good deal sometimes in retail, what do they tell you? Oh, one per person, right? You can only have one. One coupon per family. Oh, this is such a smoking good deal. You can only get one and that's it. Man, tell you what. Heaven is such a smoking good deal. And you get it, and your wife gets it, and your husband gets it. But you know what? You could bring as many friends and family to get it too, and it's free. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life. 100% free. Now I'm telling you, if you have not received that gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you, the gift that Jesus came to give you of life eternal tonight, tonight, you can walk out of here saying, I know for sure that I gave my life to Christ, and if everything falls apart, I know I'm going to heaven. You can walk out of here with that tonight, and I'm begging you, please, if you don't know that you have made the change to take that walk with Christ, to go on that journey with Jesus, to give your life to him, tonight is your night. And guess what? I don't know if we do baptisms on Wednesday, but we'll baptize you tonight too, or you can come back Sunday if we don't baptize tonight. We'll take care of you, all right? And if you need more prayer afterwards, you need to really sign it and seal it and deliver it. We're going to have our altar full of prayer people right down here in just a sec. And we are going to pray for you until you go. So we know that the Holy Spirit is our seal. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guarantee what is to come. The Holy Spirit is part of the seal. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. When you believed, you were, say, marked. You were marked. You had that red X on your chest that the enemy's coming after you. You were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit or guaranteeing in our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession. You are marked and you're sealed. It starts with a seal. It starts with a covering, right? It means a mark, a promise. But you know what? It also means character. When you sign your name on the dotted line, you are saying, my character guarantees this. My character vouches that I'm going to do that. We've told you that God's character vouches that he's going to deliver you. God's character vouches that he has sealed you, and the Holy Spirit is proof of that in your life. By the way, if you don't walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, man, some of you guys need to pray that in. And I'm not talking you guys who speak in tongues and all that. I'm talking about the power. Acts 2 talks about the power. Dunamis is the Greek word, which means dynamite. The dynamite power of the Holy Spirit needs to get in you, all right? It's in you at salvation, but we need to work at activating that power of the Holy Spirit. All right, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus was on the earth for a short time, and he said, it's going to be your advantage if I go away, because unless I go away, the Holy Spirit can't come down. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was around for 30 years, and he walked around. He was among people, and a select few, actually thousands of people saw him. You and I never saw him. But he went away, and the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit not only was just in Israel for the time, he came to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. Somebody's excited back there. The Holy Spirit of God's in you. Holy Spirit of God can pray through you. The Holy Spirit of God can interpret God's words through you. You have spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit will teach you how to use. Man, the Holy Spirit will enlighten the Word of God so that you can read one passage of Scripture, one verse, and talk about it for 20 minutes like we've done so far. Let's move along. If that mark, that seal, becomes a guarantee, a promise, and eventually our character, I got to point out before we move on, I've got to point out that several times in Scripture, it talks about that character of a seal, of a cement, and it talks about the power of your words. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard it said, it was said to those of you the old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform the oaths of the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all by heaven or earth or God's throne, nor by the earth, nor his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for the city of the great king. You shall not swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair on your head black or white. But, verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's your signature. When you make an appointment with somebody, keep that appointment, man. It's your character. It's your ceiling. It's your signature. When you say something, yes, I will do that. You know what? It better be done, because you have spoken it. You have created something. Just like God, right? He gives us some power to create, to recreate things. And we use our words, man. He spoke the heavens and the earth with his words, right? He spoke everything into existence. We speak contracts into existence. We speak these ceilings, these signatures. And I say, hey, young preach, man, I'm going to come to your house tomorrow. Guess what? I better be at your house tomorrow. Now, I didn't sign that on a contract, so maybe it doesn't count, right? It wasn't notarized, all right? I'm good. No, man, if you meant it in your heart and you said it, even if you didn't mean it in your heart and you said it, I still think your yes is yes and your no is no. You guys remember the old school movie, Hook, with Robin Williams? Man, it just broke my heart. I cried at this movie, where he'd always tell his little son. Son, he was a real businessman, Robin Williams, in the movie, and his son was like playing baseball, and his son's like, hey, Dad, you gonna come to my game tonight? He's like, son, I will be there. Well, Dad, you kind of said that before. He's like, son, my word is my bond. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got to come through now. He doesn't. He doesn't. He didn't, man. It was sad. I'm like, oh, he broke this little kid's heart, you know? I wonder if we do that to other people. I wonder if we break somebody's heart. Hey, man, I'm going to call you. You better get a phone. Maybe we should think through what we say from now on, because our words, our signature, our ceiling is a sign of our character. And maybe we need to say, why don't you give me a call? What's wrong with that, right? What we're really saying is like, I really want to call you, but I don't want to get in trouble and like lie to you. So why don't you call me? Right? I mean, I think that's better, even though it's kind of a blow off. Call me. I don't have your number. Gotta go. James 5:12 says this. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. You got to do it, man. My family's coming to church. There was an usher helping us, and we were turning in a little Christmas gift, and we didn't have it all figured out, and we were missing something. And the usher came over and said, can I help you? And we said, well, we need some help with this. He goes, I got you. Took a little extra. And I said, man, that's awesome, dude. Are you going to be here next week? Because I'm going to bring you a Starbucks card. You really went out of your way to help me and my family. He's like, yeah, I'll be here. That's cool. And we walked out, and my wife knows my crazy, raging ADD personality. You guys see the rest of the story? She goes, oh, you better be back here, and you better bring a Starbucks card for that guy. I'm like, I got it, baby. I got it. I mean, I'm like, whoa, am I that bad? I mean, that kind of hurt my heart a little bit. She's like, you better get it done. I'm like, the only reason she's saying that is because she doesn't think I'm going to get it done. So I went out to Starbucks that day, put it in my wallet. I carried it around with me for a week so I would make sure. We went back and found the guy. All right? Just happens. So you know what? We got to really watch it. Because I'm telling you what, don't we get careless with our words? Yeah. Man, I feel like if I talk a lot, I feel like I'm going to fall into error somewhere. Right? The more I talk, the higher percentage of a successful sin is going to come out. Right? The more I talk, the more I sin. I'm just going to put it that way. I don't like that, man. And see, my heart is big. I want to come over to every one of your house tomorrow and give you a hug. I just do. And I would, like, if you said that, you come over and give me a hug, I'd be like, oh, yeah, let's do it. And then, you know, I couldn't do that because it's impossible to do all that. But, like, I got to watch it. Even though my heart says yes, when I say yes to everything, I vicariously say no to something else. And if I tell you yes, and I can only come to, like, 12 houses, everybody else, I've just told no, and I have committed an act of character violation. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Wouldn't that be amazing if all Christians had that in their thing? And what if the whole world knew that about Christians? Hey man, if a Christian says something, dog, they're gonna do it. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think we can change the world just with that. All right. Matthew 12:36, look at this. And I tell you this, you must give account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. I'm in trouble already. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, see, God has a different standard than we do. We need to try and keep his standards, but listen to what he says about yes and no. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. In him are yea and amen. When you want something from God and he says yes, count on it. It's going to happen. He's not like me. He's not like a lot of you. When he says he's going to do it, what's going to happen? He's going to do it. He will. He will. He will. Amen. Anyways, that was all the first verse. Man. Let me just close with this. I want to skip down to verse 28. And I want to close with this because I want to talk about some offenses here. And this is what we're going to close. I'm going to tell you a story about Peter and how he's offended. If you look down to verse 28, it says this. Let me keep the verse on the screen. What we go from was 84 people signing a document. We go in and the people realize that they were committing errors. They had let some sin slip in the camp. And what happens here is that there's the people that sign the document, and then there's the rest, there's the leaders that all sign it. Then there's the rest of the people that didn't sign the document, but they are following the leader. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just talk to you a couple seconds about leadership. Leadership is a very important thing. By the very nature of being a Christian, we are supposed to be leaders. We are supposed to be leaders in our homes. We're supposed to be leading our families to Christ. We're supposed to be leaders in our neighborhood, right? Showing examples for our neighbors. What we do, not that we just drive out, you know, Sunday morning and then we come back and nothing changes, but that we are leading our family and we want to lead our communities to Christ. We're to be leaders in our jobs, in our occupations. I think to be a Christian is to be a call above. All right, to be a better leader, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better parent. You just have to. We can't live slackers. We can't live like slackers as Christians. We are to create culture and lead culture, not consume culture. Right? We need to be making the movies. We need to be the actors in the movies. We need to be the ones leading the charge on what is good music. We need to be the ones leading the way on excellence in the workplace, on excellent in student, being the excellent students, being the model families. We are called to be leaders as Christians because that is the very nature of what Jesus did for us. He led us to a higher standard. He leads us to a higher calling, to excellence in everything we do. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. If you sell houses for a living, man, sell them to the glory of God with all your might. If you teach kids for a living, teach those kids everything they should know. Teach them the best math, the best spelling in the name of Jesus and teach them and be a leader in that case, okay? So there were 84 people that signed the document, but not everybody that was at this calling to repent and forgive, get forgiveness of their sins were written on this document. So verse 28 says this, now the rest of the people, and then it goes on to list them, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants. Now let's face it, if you and I were back there in the day, we probably wouldn't have been on that thing. Pastor Ron might have been listed, right? But we wouldn't, right? I mean, we're leading, we're trying, but man, we're not doing the things like a spiritual giant like Pastor Ron. So I say all that to say, there's a scripture that cut my heart, and I want to share this with you, and this is our close. When you're leading, when you're doing your best, there's even those times where other people won't look at us and won't find the value in our leading the way that we think we're leading. Prayer folks, if you get ready, we're gonna have an altar time in just a second. And this happened to Peter in Mark 16, and I want to read just a couple verses, and I want to unpack them just as a way of sealing this off. And in just a second, we're going to let you come up and pray with our prayer people who are amazing, and we're going to seal some things off with you. Mark 16 tells a story of Peter. Peter just denied Jesus 3 times. Mary and Mary go to the garden tomb, and they're looking for Jesus' body. And instead, they see an angel, and here's what happened. Mark 16, verse 1. When Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary, and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might come over and anoint him, meaning Jesus in his buried state. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So it was very early in the morning. Verse 3. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone had already been rolled away. Although it was extremely large, entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to him, "Don't be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who's been crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and he will see you there just as he told you." Here's what I want to point out. The angel said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." You ever feel left out? You ever feel bummed that your name wasn't on the list? And you're like, "I want to be one of the 84. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. "I'm offended that my name wasn't on the list." It's your choice. "I feel left out. I feel put out." I'm sorry. We've all been picked last at one thing or another, right? Man, that was a big thing, man, when I was growing up, man. All the kids would line up, and the two cool kids would be captains. Never me. And they'd pick. "I want this guy. I want this guy. I want this girl. She's on my team." You didn't want to be the last guy. But you know what? Somebody was going to be last. Why would the angel say, "Go tell the disciples and Peter"? Peter just denied Christ 3 times. Was Peter excluded from being an apostle? I don't think so. Peter went off his own way. He denied Christ 3 times and went back to fishing. He goes, "I'm done. I'm trying to run away from this holy group called the apostles." But the angel made a point. He said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." You won't get mentioned all the time, but when your name needs to get mentioned, you will get mentioned. You won't get recognition all the time, but when you need to get recognized, you will get recognized. Let me tell you, the most important recognition ever is not that you know Jesus, but that, amen, somebody preach it, is that Jesus knows you. People are going to overlook you. There may even be some times where you'll get bullied. There may even be some times where people slander and talk gossip about you. But you know what? It does not matter if you're left out on man's standards. It does not matter if man takes you to task. It does not matter if you are lied about and gossiped about to man. It matters about what Jesus says to God. It matters about who he says you are. He says you are special. He says you are called. He said, "I have given you a new name, and when I take you to heaven, I'm going to tell you what that new name is." If you need that recognition tonight of knowing that God knows you, I'm going to have you come up here, and I'm going to pray with you, and our trained prayer counselor are going to come pray with you. Would everybody stand where you're at? Just stand. Just stand. I'm going to open up the altars, and you come down, man. I'll tell you what, I recently made a trip down to the altar myself. I was just participating in service, and I came down, and the brother that prayed for me read my mail without even opening it. I'm telling you, that brother was so on, and I don't know if he was a prophet or not, but I'll tell you what, that boy was in my business. I had me a good little cry. My wife had herself a good little cry, and it was good. I don't need to watch Lifetime movies to have a cry. You know what I'm saying? I can have me a cry in church. If you need to sign and seal something tonight, you come down when we're praying, all right? We are going to pray with you. We're not going anywhere until we get to pray with you. If you need to embrace the call that God has on your life and you need to stop running away from him and you need to get down here and pray the prayer of forgiveness and embrace the life that Christ has for you, come on down. My brother, you can come on down right now. You don't have to wait. You could, come on. There ain't no shame, man. Get on down here. Come on. Man, you come down right now. Come on, sister. You know why I love it when people come down? I love getting interrupted by Jesus things. Because when you're coming down now, you're like, I don't care what the preacher say, man. I'm coming down to mean business with God right now. Get on down here. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you send the people down here tonight that need to be prayed over, that need to have somebody hold their arms, that need to have somebody look in the spirit and breathe a word of God to them. Lord, people that need to seal this new year, people that need to seal a covenant with you, people that need to seal the fact that this year they're going to read the Bible every day, or they're going to do family devotions, or they're going to make significant strides in their spiritual walk. We need to cement that and seal it today. Lord, let it be in Jesus' name. God, I pray that everybody that's listening right now, God, would be blessed of God Almighty, would be challenged, that we are sealed by God with the challenge of the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we have power in our lives to do even greater things in Jesus. So Lord, if we're coming down and praying or we're going our way home, Lord, let the Holy Spirit's power be evident on us and you seal that work in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Give us our love. Give us our